Okay, we're beginning here five lines down on the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the statement from the Braita of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi that Tchum Arei Leviim is Alpayim Amah, that we already established with regards to Shabbat, and similar for the Arei Leviim, that there are 2,000 Amot that extend from the city that are the Tchum HaShabbat. Seimehen Elef Amah, the first 1,000 Amot are Migrash, open area, which is for the utilization of the city, the beautification of the city, the aesthetics, the aeration of the city, so that the people of the city can use that area. Nimtza, the conclusion from that is that the Migrash Revia, that the Migrash constitutes one quarter, Bashar, Sadot Vikramim, and the remainder of the area around is fields and vineyards. And the Gemara wanted to understand how is it that the Migrash is actually a quarter of that totality of the area. So Rova's explanation was that we're dealing with a city that's 2,000 Amot by 2,000 Amot, and then you have around that 2,000 Amot of the Tchumim, which subsumed in it is the Migrash. So if you look at that area, you really have an area that is 6,000 by 6,000 amot, or 36,000 square amot. Or the way that Rashi explains it, and the Gemara is explaining it, is you have 36 units of 1,000 by 1,000 amot. So now one quarter of that would be 9,000 square amot, or 9 1-by-1,000 units. Problem is that the Migrash around a city of 2,000 by 2,000 amot really equals 12,000 square amot, or 12 boxes of 1,000 by 1,000. Gemara's solution to that is to say that the city was circular, and so was the Migrash around it. And the Migrash being circular means that the area encompassed by the Migrash is 9,000 square amot, because it's one quarter less than an area of a square. A square would take up 12,000, so a quarter less than that would be 9,000. Those 9,000 square amot, or 9 1-by-1,000 boxes, is actually a quarter of the totality of the area, including the city. And that's 9,000 out of the 36,000, or 9 out of 36. That was Rava's solution. Abaye's solution was that the city actually was only 1,000 by 1,000 amot, and therefore with a city that's 1,000 by 1,000 amot, the span of the area is really 5,000 amot across, and 5,000 amot the other area, which would be 25,000 square amot, but Abaye does not include the city in that calculation. So you have to subtract 1,000 square amot, or one unit of 1,000 by 1,000. That means that the city's area and the Tchumim and the Migrash altogether are 24,000 square amot. Then once again, he says that the Migrash is one quarter of that area, but the Migrash itself is actually 8,000 square amot, or 8 units of 1 by 1,000 around the city, which obviously is a third of 24,000, not a quarter. And once again, Abaye says the same thing, which is that the city is circular, and the city being circular makes it that instead of the Migrash being 8,000 square amot, if it's circular, one quarter less for a circle than the area of a square, that would make it that it was 6,000 square amot, or 6 1-by-1,000 units around it. And 6,000 square amot is a quarter of 24,000 square amot. So that's where we left off with Rova and Abaye's solution to explain that statement of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi. Then along comes Ravina and says, Ravina Amar, my Ravia, what is a quarter? Ravia de Tchumin. It's one quarter of the Tchumin. The way that the Rabbeinu Hananel reads this is that Ravina is coming to explain Divrei Abaye. He's coming to tell you that Abaye, in calculating the 24,000 square amot, that is the totality of the area, does not subsume within that the city. He's different than Rava. Rava included in his 36,000 square amot the area of the 2,000 by 2,000 of the city. But Abaye, who calculated his 24,000 square amot, did not include the area of the city. That's the way the Rabbeinu Hananel reads this statement of Ravina. It's simply modifying or explaining that position of Abaye. On the other hand, Rashi makes it clear that it's going back on Rova's statement and saying, Lolam kimimi kara, b'mata mirbato, talking about a square city, ubetrei alfei atrei alfei, and it's 2,000 by 2,000. So he's going back on Rova's statement that the solution here is a city of 2,000 by 2,000, and instead of going down the path of saying that the city and the Migrash is circular, Ravina posits a new explanation, which is that it's only speaking about the Tchumim around it. And that is, if you have a city that's 2,000 by 2,000, the Migrash that surrounds it, a 1,000 amah strip that goes around it, is really comprised of 12,000 square amot, or 12 1-by-1,000 boxes that go around the city. Instead of calculating all of those 12, he says that the Migrash is only the area of the Tchumin, only the areas that are directly opposite the city, not the corners. And that means out of those 12 that are around the city, You subtract 4 from that, it leaves you with 8,000 square amot, which again is then a quarter of the 32,000 amot around the city. And that is because, again, if you do not count the city, and you do not count the corners of the migrash, then the migrash itself is 8,000 instead of 12,000 square amot, and the totality of the area around is 36,000 square amot. But if you back out the 4,000 of the city, then you're left with 32,000 square amot, and 8,000 out of 32,000 is one quarter. And that's Rava's solution according to Ravina. Now, whether Ravina really means that the migrash is just a method for calculation to show you that it is a quarter of the area that's around, but the migrash itself really constitutes the areas opposite the city and the corners as well, or does he mean that a migrash does not include corners? From Rashi, it's not clear, whereas the Tabalia Tosafot, both here and on the previous Amud, are very clear. The Kasavar, ein migrash likarnot. There is no migrash in the corners. The migrash only comprises the area that is directly opposite the square sides of the city, and you do not get the corners of the area to make it into a strip of 1,000 amot all the way around the city. You only get 1,000 amot on each face of the city, and that's why you have 8,000 square amot around. And that's the view of the Balei HaTosafot. You could just say that he's just explaining the calculation, not telling you the limitations of the migrash. To that, we also then have Ravashi. Ravashi amar, my Ravia, Ravia de Karnot. Ravia means a quarter of the Karnot. Now, Ravashi's explanation is that when you have a city, according to Rashi, he is also coming to explain, like Ravina, the Shita of Rava, that it's a city that's 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, and therefore you have around the city, each side of the city or face of the city, you have 4,000 square amot, which for the four sides is 16,000 square amot. And then in each corner of the city, you have another 4,000 square amot, which is another 16,000 square amot, which got you a total of 32,000 square amot. What he says is that the calculation here is referencing to the corners of the migrash. In each corner of the migrash, that means when you have the face of the city that has a migrash to it, then in each of the corners, there's a 1,000 by 1,000 block that comprises the migrash in the corners. That corner is actually one quarter of the totality of the corner that exists. For the tchumin, the area is 2,000 by 2,000 or 4,000 square amot for the corners of the tchumin. And the migrash is only 1,000 by 1,000 of that. And so therefore, it is one quarter of each corner of those areas. And so the migrash comprises one quarter of the total corners. Now, Rashi, in one explanation, says that, like Rava said before, that we had a city that's 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, and the migrash added together, the four migrashim, which are 4,000 square amot, comprise one quarter of the 16,000 square amot that are around the city in the corners. Then Rashi later on says, Lishna Achrina, that Einot Nimigrash Ela Lekarnot. Rashi says, and Tosafot heavily favors this, similar to what he said by Ravina, that when Ravina says there's a migrash to the sides and not the corners, that's literally what he means, there is no migrash to the corners. He says the same thing with Ravashi. When Ravashi says there's a migrash for the corners, he thinks that it means that there is only a migrash for the corners of the city. There is no migrash for the face of the city on each side. And then he says that it's applicable to any city. It has nothing to do whether the city is 2,000 by 2,000 amot, because it would be true of a city that was 1,000 by 1,000, or any size city. And that's what Rashi says in the Lishna Achrina, which is that the corners of the Migrash are always one quarter of the corners of the Tchum of the city. And if that's the case, it would be that Ravashi is limiting this area of Migrash to those corners and doesn't have application to the face of the city. So that'd be the two different views as to what Ravashi and Ravina are saying. According to Rabbeinu Hanano, Ravina is simply explaining a baye from before that he doesn't include the city in the calculation. According to Rashi, Ravina is coming to explain Rava's 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. And according to the Balei HaTosafot, Ravina is coming even to state that a migrash only has the face of the city and does not include the corners around the city. Ravashi, according to Rashi, is also explaining Rava's din of 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. In the second Lashon, he says that Ravashi is making a more general statement, which is that the migrash only gains the corners, and those corners are always one quarter of the total of the tchum in the corners. And that's the explanation that Tosafot favors, to say that Ravashi believes Migrash only applies to the corners, does not apply to the total area around, rather than this simply being an explanation of how to explain why it's a quarter, but not a halachic limitation as to how big the migrash is. So then, Amar Leih Ravina, the Ravashi, Baha Saviv Piv, how can you say that the migrash is limited to the corners? Isn't it, say, Saviv? By migrash harim, Mikir Ha'ir V'chutza Elef Amas Saviv, around the area you grant a migrash. Well, if it says around the area you grant a migrash, then how do you say that it only applies to corners? Around means surrounding my Saviv. So the answer he gives is, what does it mean, Saviv? Saviv de Karnot means in the corners. De'ilo tema hochi. And I'll tell you that I'm right about that explanation, that Saviv doesn't literally mean all the way around, like you're trying to explain, Ravina, which means the face of the city all the way around, but rather just the corners, because Gabi Ola dichtiv, by an Ola it says, V'zarku et adam ha-mizbeach Saviv. By all korbanot that require shtayim shehein arba, the Torah says that you throw the blood around the Mizbeach. Hachanami Saviv Mamash. Are you going to tell me that means that the blood has to go all the way around in a line all the way around the Mizbeach? That's not true. Elamai Saviv. How do we explain Saviv when it comes to the Mizbeach? And it says the blood has to go around the Mizbeach. Saviv de Karnot. It means that you have to sprinkle the blood on two corners of the Mizbeach, which becomes Shtayim Shein Arba. Is that the blood touches all four sides of the Mizbeach, that's how it becomes Saviv, but the only application or where you throw the dam is in the two corners. So corners are called Saviv. So Hachanami, so I'm going to say the same thing when it comes to the Pasuk by Migrash Harim, Mikir Ha'ir V'chutza Elef Amas Saviv. So what does it mean over there when the Pasuk says Saviv? Same thing it means by the Mizbeach, which is Saviv de Karnot. Just means the corner. And therefore, Ravashi sees his explanation as being the simpler explanation of the meaning of Saviv, rather than Ravina's explanation. Now we have a separate question going back to what we suggested before. Amar Leih Rav Chavivi Michaznoa, the Ravashi, he posed the question to Ravashi, Va'ika Mursha Dukarnata. Before we suggested the solution, both to Rava and Abaye's statements about why it was one quarter of the city, the Migrash, was to say that the city and the migrash around the city were circular. And in the end, the circularness of the migrash made it that the migrash was one quarter of the total area that either Abaye or Rava expressed. Now, what Rabbi Chavivi Michuzna is saying to Ravashi is, okay, the migrash is circular, v'haribua, but the city itself, you told us before that when you have a circular city, you square it out to calculate the tchumin. Now, if you square out the city and leave the migrash that is circular, then that square city that is surrounded by a circular migrash, the city is going to eat into areas of the migrash. The corners of the city are going to eat into parts of the area that are the circular strip of 1,000 amot that are around the city. So Rav Ashi's answer to him is, Imra d'amrinan chazinan keman d'mirabo ribuye. When we say that we look at the city as being a square, it means exactly that. We look at it as if it is a square. Vadai mi marba, but we don't actually square out the city. The city remains circular. And so does the migrash around it, according to those explanations before. And that makes it 1,000 amot. Now for tchum, because we said by dinim of Shabbat, look at the city as if it is a square. And therefore the areas of the tchumin will be squared out to make it an area, according to Abaye, which was 24,000 square amot, or for Rava was 36,000 square amot around. Those areas are determined by effectively looking at the city as if it was a square. But literally, or in actuality, the city is not a square. And therefore, the migrash that's around it, that is circular, around the circular city, really is a strip of 1,000 amot that circles the city in its entirety, and is not eaten up by squaring out the city. Squaring out the city is just a mechanism for calculating the tchumin. It's not an actuality. What we look at the area that is dedicated to the city versus that which is dedicated to the migrashim. So Amar Leih Rabbi Chanilai Mechazna the Ravashi. So we have another question that was posed by an individual Mechazna to Ravashi. Michte kamaruba yeter al igul. A square that has a circle inside of it, so it's circumscribed around a circle. Revia. We said that the difference between them is a quarter. Now, this is a calculation that in this direction is true both for perimeter as well as it is true for area. If you have a circle inscribed inside of a square, based on the Gemara's calculation, we did this much earlier in the Masechta, and you can go look back there by the calculation Shiyam Shel Shlomo, but we said that when it comes to pi for the Gemara, the calculation is done using the number 3. So if you're looking at the perimeter of a circle, you calculate that by using pi d, pi diameter. The diameter times 3 will give you the perimeter of a circle. That diameter, if you have a square around it, will also give you the perimeter of the square. 4 times that diameter will give you the perimeter of the square. So 4 times d is the perimeter of the square. 3 times d is the perimeter of the circle. So the relationship between them is 3 to 4 or 4 to 3. And in the parlance of the Gemara, when you say revia, revia means milabar. The extra area afterwards is a quarter of the totality. And that really means that it's a third. And that's what we're saying here, that the relationship between them is 1/3. Or if you're speaking about area, the calculation for area, if you have a circle again inscribed inside of a square, for the square, the diameter would be the determination of what would make the area, and that'd be diameter squared. The diameter squared would give you the area of the square. On the other hand, for the circle, you would have to use pi r squared. R is really just half of the diameter. So it's basically pi, which for the Gemara is 3, half of the diameter squared, or in essence, 1/4 of the diameter squared. Pi times that is 3/4 of the diameter squared. And again, there you have the relationship between the diameter squared and 3/4 of the diameter squared. And that relationship is again of 1/4 or 1/3, depending if you do it milabar or milagav. And that relationship exists both for area and for perimeter. So the nature of the question is that a square that is around a circle is 1/4 greater or 1/3 greater than the area of the circle or 1/3 greater than the perimeter of the circle. Now, hi tamne mea, shit mea v'shitin v'sheva nachitilta havi. How did you get to a calculation when we said we're going to square out the city? If you had a city that was 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, we said then that if the city was circular and you squared it out, the benefit of squaring out the city would give you an extra 800 amot. And that is that the square of the city would be 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. That benefit versus the circular area of the city gave you 400 extra amot in each corner from the circle to the corner of the square. 800 amot across the entire hypotenuse of the area, splitting the square in half with a hypotenuse, it would give you 2,800 amot for the 2,000 by 2,000 amot city, which in the circle, which has a diameter of 2,000, so 2,800 minus 2,000 is 800 excess amot, 400 on each side. So he says, why is that the right calculation? If I take the relationship here between a square and a circle, which says that it's 1/4, or really 1/3 in our parlance, that means that if the diameter of the circle is 2,000 amot, 1/3 of 2,000 is really 666 2/3. And that's what he says here. The extra area should not be 800 amot, but rather the extra area should be 667 minus a third, which is 666 2/3. It's 1/3 of 2,000. And that should be the excess amount, which means on each side, instead of being 400, the extension from the circle, diameter of the circle to the corner of the square, it should be 333 1/3. Amalei, hani milibi gula, migo rivua. You're mistaking or you're conflating two issues. The relationship of 1/4 or really 1/3 between a circle and a square, or the perimeter of the circle to the perimeter of the square, or the area of the circle to the area of the square, but we'd say that 2,000 amot is 1/3 greater. That's when you're speaking about the totality of the perimeter of the square or the totality of the area of the square. When you're measuring to the corner, you're not measuring the totality of the excess amount of the square above the circle. You're actually figuring out what's the farthest point out the square is from the circle. That is actually the longest point or the extra point that is the furthest away from the circle. And there, aval balachsona, when you're talking about the hypotenuse, bina tvei, you need more. Because by the time you get to the areas that are not on the hypotenuse, they're actually equal. The square and the circle have the same diameter in those points. So all the excess area has to be encompassed in those corners, those triangular corners that exist. They have to encompass all the area. So there it's 1/3 greater for the square than is the circle. But the actual distance, when you're going on the diameter across and the hypotenuse of the square versus the diameter of the circle, that relationship is 2,000 amot and the excess is 2,800 amot or 800 amot or 400 on each side. Damamar, because that's based on Pythagorean's theorem, the ko'amta biribua, any square that is an ama by an ama, the hypotenuse of that square is amta betray chumshe belachsona, is actually one ama and 2/5 along the hypotenuse. And that basically is Pythagorean's theorem, which is if you have 1 squared and 1 squared, that is 2. So the square root of 2 is the hypotenuse. And the Gemara is giving you that as 1.4 or 1 2/5, which is pretty close to the calculation of a square root of 2, which is 1.4142. It's a irrational number that continues on, but we're using 1.4 to represent that, and as Tosafot points out, that can't be the explanation. He shows that from putting a diamond inside of a square and shows that the hypotenuse of those areas clearly is not 1.4, because otherwise you'd be short in the calculation of the area of the diamond that is inside the square, a square that's 10 by 10, that has a diamond placed inside of it. That diamond should be a half of the square around it, 50 square amot. If you use the calculation of 1.4, you'd only come out with 49 square amot. So he shows you that there is some sort of deficit in that calculation, but it is a good estimate. And based on that estimate, if you have a circle that has a diameter of 2,000 amot and you put a square around it, then the sides of the square are 2,000 by 2,000 amot. The hypotenuse of that square, which would be then where the diameter of the circle is and extended beyond into the square, will be 2,000 times 1.4 is 2,800 square amot, 400 on each side that extends the diameter of the circle to the corners of the square. And that is the calculation that we did in yesterday's daf. Okay, now we're beginning the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Nadim karpaf le'ir tivi Rabbi Meir." Rabbi Meir says, when you calculate the Tchumei Shabbat, you don't start from the perimeter of the city. You actually give them an area around the city that's the size of a karpaf, or what we've calculated earlier in the Gemara, that you get 70 2/3 plus a moat, and those 72 2/3 a moat create a perimeter around the city. And only after that perimeter do you start calculating the 2,000 amot for Tchum Shabbat. The Chamim disagree and say, Lo amru karpaf, ele ben shtei ayarot. That the karpaf is only relevant when it's situated between two cities. If each one of them has 70 2/3 amot, and by giving them that area, they overlap those areas, those karpifiyot overlap. Then that makes the cities to a single unit, and therefore the Tchumei Shabbat would only be counted from the external side of both cities, because the two cities would be considered like Da'at Amot for Tchum Shabbat. So it's only used in that situation. It has no application outside of that. In a regular city, you would not get the perimeter of a Karpaf around before you calculate the Tchum Shabbat. Dozo points out that this concept that two cities get each a karpaf for them in order to combine them together is a din that's uniquely associated with cities and does not have application to individual houses. Only two cities that are within a karpaf, each one assigned a karpaf, are overlapping, consider a single area. But if you have two houses and we don't grant each house a karpaf, in that situation we're going to look at one karpaf between them, which is 70 2/3 amot. As long as they're within 70 2/3 amot of each other, then it connects them together to make them into a singular area for Tchumei Shabbat, or a singular city. But we don't grant each one of them a karpaf. That's a unique din that's associated with ayarot, with cities. And when you have two cities, each one of them gets a karpaf, and then we look at it as 141 1/3, rather than 70 2/3, which is the calculation for houses or individual houses that are outside of a city, or individual houses that are also proximate to each other. B'chein, gimok farim ha-mishulashim, you have three cities that are together. M'yesh ben shnayim ha-chitzonim, if the two outer cities between them have 141 1/3, 141 1/3, which is 70 2/3 times 2. Asa emtzai et shloshtam liot echad, then the middle one makes it that all three of them are one city. The Gemara will discuss how exactly that fits into the positions of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and what exactly is going on in that latter part of the Mishnah. Menahani Mile. How do we know about this concept called a karpaf? Amarova Damakra, the pasuk says, Mekir Yir Vechutza, from the wall of the city and outwards. Amra Torah, Tein Chutza, V'achar Kach Medod. First of all, give the city an outside, a perimeter around it, and then measure the Tchumim, the Migrashim, and the Tchumim from that point forward. So that's Rabbi Meir's source, which is Rabbi Meir believes that there's a chutzah There is a perimeter that's given to the city that's considered to be the natural border of the city that is subsumed. Even though it's beyond the city walls, it's still a part of the perimeter or the area that belongs to the city. Only after that do you start counting the Migrash and the Tchumin. Chamim Omrim, Lo Amru, we don't say it here, Itmar. So now, what is the position of the Chachamim? Ravuna Amar, Notim Karpaf Lezu, V'Karpaf Lezu. Ravuna says that the Chachamim's position is that when you have two cities that are adjacent to each other, then you give a Karpaf to each one of them, and if their Karpafiot overlap, then we say they're like one city. Chir Barav Amar, Karpaf Echad Lishtehem. When we go to do this calculation, we look at one karpaf. We put 70 and 2/3 amot between them. And if there's less than 70 and 2/3 amot between the two cities, they're combined. So for Rav Huna, you have to have less than 141 and a third amot between the two cities for them to be a single city. And for Chir Barav, you would need to have less than 70 and 2/3 amot. Tznan, our Mishnah, v'chachamim omrim, lo amru karpaf, ela ben bet ayarot. That sounds like you only get one karpaf between two cities. It says karpaf in the singular. Tiyufta de Rav Huna. That's a strong refutation of Rav Huna's position. Amar lecha Rav Huna, my karpaf. What does the singular of karpaf mean here? Torat karpaf. That is the rule of the karpaf, or the way that we apply a karpaf. Not that you only give one karpaf, but we apply the din of karpaf. Rabbi Meir already told us, what's the din of karpaf? Every city gets 70 and 2/3. So that din of Rabbi Meir, which doesn't apply to a regular city, does apply to two cities, and that rule will say that we give each one of them 70 and 2/3. Ula olam, karpaf lezu, ula karpaf lezu. That each one of the cities will get a karpaf. And Gemara says, achanami mistavro. That explanation of the Mishnah according to Rav Huna makes sense. Miktani Seifa, because the next line in the Mishnah, it's saying about each one of the cities that if each one of them has 70 and 2/3, then karpaf liot achat. So then the karpaf makes them into a single city. So you see that the definition there of karpaf is not one karpaf, but a karpaf for each city, like the way that Rav Huna explained it. Shma mina, that the explanation of the Mishnah seems to be in favor of Huna. So now let's say, that should be a refutation of Chir Barav's position, which seems to indicate the opposite. Amar lecha Chir Barav, Rabbi Chir Barav will say to you, ha, mani, Rabbi Meiri. That part of the Mishnah is not actually the Chachamim statement. That's Rabbi Meir's statement about giving a karpaf to each city. Mar says, I Rabbi Meiri, ha tani le resha. Why do you have to tell me that? Rabbi Meir already told us in the Reisha of the Mishnah that every city gets a karpaf. So why, when there are two cities, are you telling me that each city gets a karpaf? That's obvious. So notim karpaf le'ir. You already get a karpaf for every city according to Divrei Rabbi Meir. Tzricha, you need both statements of Rabbi Meir. Tima hahi, if you only had the first statement in the Mishnah, hava mina chad lechada, lechada tarte. You give one karpaf for a single city. And when you have two cities, between them you also get a single korpaf. Kamash Malan, the second part of the Mishnah tells you, when you have an area between two cities, each city gets its own korpaf. The reason maybe, if you only gave me the second part of the Mishnah, that between two cities you get two karpifiot, one korpaf for each city, that's because the area between the two cities is limited. So we want to give each one of those cities sufficient space to do whatever they need outside the city, as well as to give them their aesthetics outside the city, because there's limited space between the two cities. But Hatam, in a regular city that doesn't have any other cities adjacent to it, but there's no pressure on it because there's open area beyond the Migrashim, maybe over there we would not give them a korpaf. Tzricha, and therefore I need both statements of Rabbi Meir. One, to teach me that each individual city gets their karpaf. And secondly, to teach me when you have two cities adjacent to each other, the area between them, each city gets its own independent karpaf. Tznan. What about the remainder of the Mishnah? V'chein shlosha kfarim hamishulashim. You have three cities. Right now the Gemara is assuming that these three cities are in a single row. Im yesh ben shnayim achitzonim, 141 ama ushlish. If you have between the two outer cities in a row here, 141 and a third amot, or really two karpifot, that's 70 and 2/3 times two. Osam tzei et shloshtam liot echad. The middle one makes them into a singular city, and there all three cities are considered to be like Dalet Amot. Taimo deikam tzei. That's only because the middle city was there. What the middle city does is divides that 141 and a third into two areas of 70 and 2/3. That sounds exactly like Chir Barav. that you only look at one karpaf between the cities, because the middle city cuts the karpifot in half, and therefore makes less than one karpaf between the middle city and the outer city to the right, and between the middle city and the outer city to the left. So how leka imtzi? Because had it not been for the middle city, lo, you would not consider them one city, even though according to Rav Huna, they meet the threshold amount, which is that they're within 141 and a third amot of each other. According to Rav Huna, that should have been sufficient to make them one city. Why you need the middle city? To you, to the Rav Huna, that's a strong refutation of Rav Huna's position. Amar lecha Rav Huna, hayit mar la, we have a qualification of that statement of the Mishnah. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Idi, Amar Rav Chanina, lo mishulashim mamash. They're not really three cities in a row. Eloroim kol shilu matil emtzei b'neihem. It's only figuratively. If we would put the third city, the middle city in between them, b'yu mishulashim, and then they would be split into thirds, b'im ben zeh lezeh ela kuf mem mama v'chat v'shlish, and then between each city, there would only be 141 and a third amot, asei emtzei et shloshtam liot echad. Then the middle city makes all three of them into a single city. So you can see right next to Rashi in the Masorta Shas, that the picturing of what's happening here is that you have three cities in a triangle. And the two bottom cities, which are split from each other, are too far apart to join them into a single city. The third city that exists there, if we drop that city down in between the two of them, then between the middle city and the city to the right, and the middle city to the city on the left, there's less than 141 and a third amot. And by doing that, you now got the two karpifot that Rav Huna grants each city, and it's a little less than two karpifot to each direction, and because of that, they all now become a single city. So it's an as-if. It's not that there are three cities there. There are only two cities. There's a third city that's up above the area or the plane of these two cities, and these two cities are too far apart to be considered one city. But if you drop that third city in the middle down, then it cuts off the space between the two cities and makes it that between the outer cities and the middle city, there's less than 141 and a third amot, and that joins them all together to be a single area or a single city. Now, how do you know what the structure is that allows for that? And that's what Rava poses to Abaye. Amalei Rava to Abaye, kamihei ben chitzon le'emtzai. How far away can the emtzai be away from the chitzonim that it's still considered to be relevant to these two cities that are outside, the two cities that are on the same plane? How far away can that third city be that we still consider it as if we'll pull it down and put it in the middle? Samalei alpayim ama, 2,000 amot. So as long as the middle city is within the tchum of the two outer cities, each one of them is 2,000 amot away and no more, then we'll look at the third city as if it's dropped down between the two outer cities. Now, Rova says to Abaye, Bahat amahu domart, didn't you say before when it came to a city that was shaped like a bow, a keshet, kavadei derova brei derabo baravuna mistavra, that even though the string of the bow, which has the straight line where the keshet or the bow opens up, how far away can that area, the string of the bow, be away from the bottom of the bow? And there was a machloket. Either it's only 2,000 amot, or more than 2,000 amot. And Abaye over there said that kavatei de rova brei de rabba Rav Huna mistavra, like the position of rova brei de rabba Rav Huna, who says it can be even more than 2,000 amot, makes sense. Damar yoter mi'apayim mama. Even more than 2,000 amot, it still can be considered as if the bow or the keshet is a single city. And you only count the tchum from each side of the keshet and from the, and the string of the bow, and not from where the houses are. So how come over there you don't require that the string of the bow be within 2,000 amot of the bottom cities? Achiashto, Abaye says, what are you talking about? The two cases aren't similar. Hotam, by the case of the keshet, heika batim. Over there, the reasoning behind Abaye's support for the position of Rava Brei Rabba Rav Huna is because even if you couldn't walk straight from the middle house at the bottom of the bow to where the string of the bow is, because it's more than 2,000 amot, all you have to do is follow the houses around the perimeter of the bow. And you could get to that area of the string of the bow by simply going around the outside and then cutting back in. So since you have access to that, even on Shabbat, even if we didn't give you the benefits of counting from the string of the bow, we will still grant you that because you can access it on Shabbat because of the houses that run along the two sides of the bow. Over here, there's no houses between the cities. You have to have something that connects between the cities, and there's no way to access it except if they're within 2,000 amot of each other. And therefore, there's a limitation of 2,000 amot. Bamale Rovel Abaye, Kamiye ben Chitzon Lechitzon. How far away can the two on the same plane be away from each other? Mar says, Kama Yehei, how far away? Mainaf Lechamina. Who cares how far away they are? The answer is, it depends on the size of that middle city. If you pluck the middle city out and put it in the plain between the two outer cities, if the expanse of that city reduces the space between each of the outer cities to be less than 141 and a third away from the middle city, then it's fine. It all becomes one city. So it doesn't matter how far apart the two outer cities are. It really depends on how big that middle city is once you place it in between the two outer cities. So there's no limitation. It all has to do with the size of what the space is between the two outer cities and how big that middle city is. And that's the calculation. It's not a number that you can give up front. Even if they're 4,000 amot away from each other, I mean they're two Tchumei Shabbat away from each other, their Tchumei Shabbat don't overlap. He says yes, that's the case. As long as the middle city is equal to 3,717 and a third amot, which leaves of those 4,000 amot, 141 and a third on each side between the two outer cities, then they can all be classified as a single city. Vaha amar Rav Huna, going back again to the city that was shaped like a bow, didn't Rav Huna say there, Ira suyak keshim yesh ben roshea pachot me'arbat alafim ama, but didn't la minayet there? If between the houses at the end of the bow on each side, if they are less than 4,000 amot away from each other, then you count them as a single city. And when you count to the east or the west, you count from the outer side on the right side and the outer side on the left side, and you count from the yeter, from the string of the bow, outwards. And that's what brings them together, is that they're less than 4,000 apart. Ve'im lav modedim la min hakeshet. If they're more than 4,000 amot apart, we don't count from there, then each of them becomes an individual house, and you count the tchum from that individual house, and not from the yeter, not from the string of the bow, and not from the right side or the left side. So why, again, are you saying over here it can be even more than 4,000 amot? Well, they halt them, leka lemeimar mali. Over there you can't say, fill in the houses. Hacha ik lemeimar mali. Over here you can say, fill in the houses or fill in the missing space. So Tosfot actually gives three different explanations as to what it means that by the keshet we don't say mali, you fill in the houses. And over here we do say mali, you do fill it in. So one possibility is that the Bayi Tosfot suggests that in that case, the yeter, the string of the bow, was within 2,000 amot of the center of the bend of the bow. As long as there's only 2,000 amot from the middle of the bow to the string of the bow, then we don't worry about how far away the two sides of the, or two ends of the bow are. They could be even more than 4,000 amot away from each other because they're within 2,000 amot, the middle, to the yeter, to the string of the bow. And that's similar to what we're saying over here, which is that when the two outer cities are within 2,000 amot of the middle city, then we don't worry how far apart the chitzonah, the two outer cities are. But if the middle of the bow was more than 2,000 amot away from the yeter, from the string, then we would no longer say that if it's more than 4,000 amot, that the two ends of the bow then are connected, or that the yeter is the end of the tchum for the people in the middle, because then there's just too much expanse there. We don't say moli. There we don't fill it in, because there's no connection between the middle of the bow and the yeter of the bow, because they're more than 2,000 amot away. And the two ends of the bow don't have a connection because they're more than 4,000 amot away. But Eino Chanami, if the middle was within 2,000 amot of the string of the bow, or the two sides were less than 4,000 amot away from each other, we would say Mali. And that's the difference between the cases here, because in that case, it was more than 2,000 amot. If it was 2,000 amot, we would say the same thing as Mali. Whereas over here, in our case, they're within 2,000 amot of each other, and that's why you say Mali. That's one explanation. The second explanation is that based on Abaye's position that favors Rabba bar Rav Huna, who says that even when the string of the bow is more than 2,000 amot away from the middle of the bow, as long as the two sides of the bow are within 4,000 amot of each other, then we say Mali. But if it's not, then we don't say Mali. In our case here, that's not the situation. The outer cities are within 2,000 amot of the Emtsai. That's why we say Mali here, as opposed to there, where it's more than 2,000 amot between the middle of the bow and the string of the bow. And that's why we would not say Mali. The third possibility that Tosfos brings is that over there, the problem is that if you stretch the bow out to a straight area, it would exceed the area of the yeter. So we can't say mali. We can't go and say fill in the houses as if they existed at the string of the bow, because if you flatten out the bow would extend far beyond the string of the bow, because the bow is bent, and if you were to straighten it out, it would be longer than area, and therefore we do not apply the din of mali when it's more than 4,000 amot apart. On the other hand, in our case, where the city does not expand beyond the area between the two outer cities, then we would say mali. So as long as the middle city does not exceed the space between the two outer cities, then we'll say mali. As opposed to the bow, which if you stretched it out would be longer than that area in the middle, there we don't say mali unless they are within the Tchumei Shabbat of each other. And that's why there's a limitation over there that either the middle to the string or the two sides have to be within the Tchumei Shabbat of each other in order for you to consider it a single area, as opposed to here where it can be even more than 4,000 amot apart, because of this mali, the filling in that area in the middle. Amalei Rav Safra L'Rovo, Hare Bnei Akistifon, D'mashchinen Lehu Tchuma Mehai Gisa D'Ardashir, Uvnei D'Ardashir, and the people of Ardashir, Mashchinen Lehu Tchuma Mehai Gisa D'Akistifon. So these are two cities that are on the opposite sides of the Tigris River. They are on the opposite banks of the Tigris River, and each city, when it counts its Chum Shabbat, counts 2,000 amot from the other city. So the one on the western bank of the river counts its Tchum Shabbat starting after the city on the eastern side of the bank of the river. And the one on the eastern side of the river counts its Tchum Shabbat from the city on the western side of the river, 2,000 amot out. V'ha'ika diglat demifsika. The problem is that you have the Tigris that divides between them, and the Tigris, the width of the Tigris River, is yeter mi'me'av arve'im v'achad v'shlish. It's more than 141 and a third amot. If that's the case, then how can you consider them a single city? We said you're going to consider them a single city when you have a maximum of 141 and a third amot between them. Two karpi fold, like the way the Rav Huna explained the Chachamim in the Mishnah. So nofak, so Rova took Rav Safra out. Achvilei hanach amtahato deshura. He showed them these yerechot shel choma, these walls of buildings, the mivlei b'diglat. They're actually submerged or part of the river, ba'ayin amah v'shirayim, that were within 70 amot and 2/3 amot from the city, meaning that there was some sort of item in the middle that reduced the space between them, and that area in the middle was within 70 and 2/3 amot of the city, and therefore that now extended the perimeter of the city to make it that these two cities were not 141 and a third away from each other, but it was less because of that area in the middle of the river that then connected between these two cities. So those remnants of the wall that belonged to one of the two cities that were submerged in the water, which means the expanse of the city was further out beforehand, or the wall of the city really extended further. And then from that wall of city to the other city was only 70 or less than 70 and 2/3 amot. And that's what joined the two cities together, because the expanse of the city was actually much greater, much further than what was seemingly visible to the residential or the area inhabited now, because the walls of the city actually extended into the river itself. The Rabbeinu Tam says over here that the loch is like Rav Huna and not like Chir Barav, because Rav Huna was Godol b'chokma u'b'minyan. He was older than Chir Barav by a significant amount, and he was of a greater erudition than Chir Barav. Can we see Rav Huna chastising Chir Barav in certain instances in the Gemara in Arachin? And number two is, all the Amoraim over here that explain that the cities are not situated in three in a row, but rather in two in a row with one standing out like in a triangular form, are all following that position of Rav Huna, because the only person who needs that explanation is Rav Huna. And so all these Amoraim that are both describing or qualifying the Mishnah that way and then asking questions and answering them about that setup are all believing, like Rav Huna, that that's the setup of the three over here, which Chir Barav doesn't need, because he could have three in a row and explain the Mishnah in that manner, as well as the fact that Rav Safra, who's questioning Rava about the situation in the cities that are over the Tigris River, he also obviously believes, like Rav Huna, had it been less than 141 and 2/3, he would have thought it was totally fine, like the Chachamim, And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says the halacha must be like Rav Huna in this instance. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet.